Chapter 9, Luke chapter 9. Think about that song. I literally just tried it out on y'all, so Merry Christmas. I didn't know it that well, and today I couldn't get away from that song, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to sing it, even if it hurts. But man, somebody needed that. I know I did. I'm glad he's in the middle of our storm, aren't you? Luke chapter 9 tonight, Luke chapter 9. And let's look at verse 57 through verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, and we'll look down through verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, "And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Verse 58 says, "And Jesus saith unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds have air, have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home in my house." And then he says, verse 62, "And Jesus saith unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Tonight I'll preach on this subject, fit to follow. Fit to follow. Now if you notice the picture up there, you see kind of that gym. We all know that it's 2022. What happens in the new year? Well, everybody has their weight loss goals. Gyms are at full capacity with members. Until March. Donut shops are missing their normal customers. Water is now the number one drink until March. Until we all quit those things that we love, right? Or things that we don't love, sorry. But hopefully also in that goal that you made for the new year of maybe getting fit and trim and whatever your goal is, my goal is to gain as much weight as I can and have as much fun doing it. The last couple of years I tried losing weight and I gained weight. I was like, quit that. I'm going to enjoy life. Anyway, I'll eat a donut while you're eating your kale. By the way, they're to outlaw that stuff. It's horrible. I'd rather eat a cardboard box. But let me ask you this. Hopefully everybody has started reading their Bible. Hopefully everybody started their prayer time. Hopefully everybody has made that goal to say, look, I want to get fit in the Lord, right? And I want to make sure that I'm starting my year off right. And by the way, that should be everybody's goal. But I want to ask you tonight, how fit are you to follow Christ? And as we look at this scripture tonight, we're going to see following Christ is not for pansies. Following Christ is not for the weak at heart. Following Christ is going to take some dedication from your life. It's going to take some you doing away with some things, and we're going to look at that. It's going to take sacrifice in your life. But I want us to look at this, and I want to just stick with this thought, fit to follow. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, thank you for another year to be able to serve you. And Lord, as we have maybe made some goals for our spiritual growth this year, Lord, may you help us with that. Lord, may you give us the courage to keep those goals and the faith to keep those goals. And Lord, most of all, we ask that you keep Satan out of our life and Lord, our flesh from getting the upper hand. And Lord, that you would have the preeminence in our life. God, would you help us to be fit to follow you tonight? And God, would you help us as we preach this sermon tonight that you get all glory, all honor from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in this chapter, we see Jesus is testing those who said they want to be a disciple. Jesus is testing those who came to him and said, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The first man that steps up, now in verse 57, it doesn't give his name, but if you go to Matthew chapter 8, which will give you the verse on the screen, Matthew chapter 8 verse 19, it tells us who this man was. Notice what the Bible says. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, to learn that it's a scribe kind of helps us with the story a little bit, because Notice what Jesus does when he answers him. He says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Now, think about the scribes. The scribes were a little under the Pharisees, but they were of the upper class. They were very the scribes and the Pharisees were very prim and proper. Listen, when Jesus said, look, I don't have a place to stay, and I'm just thinking out loud, maybe this is what Jesus meant. He says, there may be nights we may have to stay outside. You know why I know that? Because the disciples and Jesus did that. And I believe that scribe said, you know what? I don't know if I want to lay on the ground. I don't know if I want to sleep in a tent. I don't know if I'm that committed. And Jesus says to him, he says, look, if you're not willing to give up all the luxuries of life, you can't be my follower. Notice the next person comes and Jesus gives him an invitation in verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. Boy, wouldn't you love for Jesus Christ to come to you and say, follow me? Boy, wouldn't you be excited to, yes, Lord, where are you going? And notice what he says. He says, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, it almost seems mean that what Jesus says. Notice what he says. He says, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He says to this man, listen, let the dead bury their dead. He says, but you need to go preach the gospel. There's something more pressing for you to do than to bury your father. You see, if you're going to be willing to follow Christ, there are some things you're going to have to do that ain't going to make sense. You know what Jesus told us in Luke chapter 14, verse 26? He said, unless you hate your father and your mother, you cannot be my disciple. You know what he meant by that? Not that you hate your parents, but your love for Christ should be so much that it seems like you hate your family compared to your love for Christ. Listen, sometimes we're not willing to walk away from our moms and fathers to serve God, to follow Him wherever He wants to. The hardest day in my life was whenever I had to leave Century, Florida, and go to Fort Worth, Texas. I had to leave my family, all my family. All my family lives in a 5-mile radius, and I had to leave them all to go to seminary. And God has left me here for, it seems like, for eternity. And that's okay. We were just home. And listen, I miss my family, but I don't belong there. This is now my home. But listen, me and my wife, and we were raised up on the same street. We lived right down the road from each other. Our families were close. And when God called us, we had to be willing. And listen, it wasn't a great sacrifice. Don't praise me. Praise the God of me. But here's what happened. We had to say, we got to go. Why? Because following Christ is more important than my family. There's been times where we've missed the burial of our family, because we had something going on here. And we felt that it was more important than going back there. And listen, I'll see them again. But I love what Jesus says again in verse 61. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. He says, look, I want to follow you, but I've got something I got to do. I need to go tell everybody bye. You know what I think Jesus may know? This is a freebie. I just thought of this today. Jesus may understand that if we ever hesitate, we never do. Oh, Pastor, listen, this is what's so dangerous. And let's use the youth because they're not in here. They come back from youth camp, they're on fire, but they got to do it. They can't say, oh, when I get back, I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to start reading my Bible now. And listen, here's the new year. You can't say, well, I'm pretty busy the first of the year, but February I'm starting. You can't. You know why? Because you never will. You know why? Because there's a flesh and there's a devil who's going to get in your way, and he's going to fill your calendar up for you. Listen, if you say, I'm going to follow Christ, you have to do it then. Can I just give you another freebie? There's nowhere in here where it says, where Jesus may not have said, if they would have said, yes, we're following you, let's go. He might have said, why don't you go tell your family about it? But see, they wanted to do their own thing first. I wished in my life, I wished there was no time I could look back and say I hesitated or didn't do. But there are times where I've hesitated and I didn't do. I don't tell my wife after 25 years of lovely marriage, I'm going to love her in 26 years. No, I love her tonight. See, that's the way we need to do the Lord. Listen, if you're going to do something in 2022, there's no convenient time. You just got to do it. Ain't that Nike slogan, just do it? Just do it. Just get in there and do it. Listen, God tonight wants you to say yes and do it. Don't sit around and think of all the things that you say, well, if I do it and I'm going to have this to do, but just do it. These different men show us a great illustration of people today. And I want to give you three things tonight. Actually, I'm going to give you six things, but I'm just telling you three right now. All right, so that way you don't get mad at me. They're going to be quick. But what do these men remind me of? Number one, they want to be a fan, but not a follower. You see, I'm an Alabama fan. Don't hate me. I don't like NFL sports. I don't even like baseball. I don't like basketball. I don't like volleyball. I watch none of that. I watch a little bit of college football. And I like to watch a winning team, so I watch Alabama. Stab that in there a little bit. We may lose next. But you see what I just said? Did you hear what I said? We're winners. You know what? I've not ever played for Alabama. You know how many games I've been to in my life? Probably four or five. I never been on the field going, you know what, Saban, I think I would run this. You know, here at HCA, boy, we have some winning teams. We're happy with that, right? Whether it's basketball, volleyball, football, and all those. And you know, when we win, we win. We don't say our team won, right? But listen, as a fan, you really didn't do anything. You say, well, I cheered. Good job. Right? But here's the thing, is that there are too many fans and not enough followers. The biggest, I want to read this to you. Kyle Idleman wrote a book on not a fan, and he talks about being a follower of Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. The biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians, but aren't actually interested in following Christ. They want to be close enough to Jesus. Now get this, they want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. Woo! Right? Listen, that's the way work days are sometimes around your house, right? The kids want to be spectators, but they don't want to do anything. Same thing at church work days, you know? It's like, well, we drove by there and saw y'all work and we just kept going. Or something like that, right? But here's the thing, is that these people that Jesus interviewed here that wanted to be followers, Jesus said, okay, follow me. But listen, they just wanted to be a fan. They wanted to be a cheerleader from the side that, listen, when the going gets tough, listen, you can take that jersey off and go, I wasn't really ever a fan of them. Right? You know, I see people all the time, and I appreciate our neighbor next to us is a K-State fan. And, of course, they just had a good win yesterday, whenever it was. And but you know what? They don't have good years a lot. But he still wears the garb, has the flag outside. He's always been a fan. You know, and listen, that's good. But has he ever won a game? No. Listen, I want to be a part of the team. I want to be part of the ones when Jesus comes back and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to go, good job on your cheering. Cheering don't get nothing done. It's encouraging sometimes. But listen, we need less spectators and more participators. We need less fans and more followers of Jesus Christ. Number two, not only is there fans that they want to be a fan but not a follower. Number two, they want the fellowship but don't want to be a follower. You know what? You know what these guys wanted? They just wanted to hang out with Jesus. You know why? He's a celebrity. Man, there's stuff going on with him. I just want to be around him. I just want to watch him, but don't ask me to do anything. Right? And listen, in life and in church, sometimes people just want to hang around and just want to be around where something's happening, but they don't want to put the sweat in. They don't want to put that time in. They don't want to put that effort into what is happening. And I believe number three, I believe there are those who are fascinated but don't want to be followers. Listen, they were fascinated with the miracles of Jesus. Watch him. Watch what he can do. Wow. Sir, could you come over here and help me? Oh, mm-mm. Right? Don't you hate? I hated when I was in school. You know, they'd ask, I need some volunteers. Raise your hand. I never raised my hand. I didn't want to volunteer. Unless it was to, now, yeah, this is going to tell you how old I am. If you wanted to dust the erasers. Lord, my hand went up because you know why? You get to go outside and make a mess. Who doesn't want that job? Go out there and bang those erasers together, you know? And like a come back in, you look like you've been eating a powdered donut. And, you know, those type of things. But listen, if in the Christian life, if we're just fascinated with what's going on at Heritage Baptist Church and not a follower of Jesus Christ, this thing's going to collapse on itself. But listen, we ought to be fascinated with what God's doing, but we ought to be fascinated as a follower. We ought to be a fan, but we ought to be a fan and following. We ought to be fellowshipping with each other and with the Lord, but listen, we need to be followers of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to leave you with these things. Number one, I want to ask you this. Are you fit to follow? How do you know if you're fit to follow? Jesus tells us how to know if you're fit to follow. I'll give you a couple of verses. This will come up on the screen. Matthew 16:24. Matthew 16:24. We'll look at it together. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take a cross and follow me." Jesus gave them very specific instructions. He says to his disciples, he says, now listen, if anybody wants to be my disciple, if they want to be a follower of me, they got to do two things. Number one, they got to deny themselves. You know the hardest thing for any of us, one of the hardest things for us to do is to tell ourselves no. Right? It's hard to deny ourselves. It's hard to say no to ourselves. It's easy to say, yes, this is what I want to do. But I want to tell you that if you go back to the verses, in verse 59 and verse 60, there's a phrase in there. Both of them said, me first. I got it highlighted. And in verse 59 and in verse 61, both of those people said, me first. It sounds like a child, doesn't it? Ooh, me first, me first. Listen, here's the thing with God is that it's not me first, it's Him first. You got to wake up and you must deny yourself. It's not about you. It's not about your abilities. It's not about your power. It's not about your looks. Thank Jesus for that. It's not about your voice. It's not about your talents. It's about denying yourself and letting God work through you. And you follow Christ wherever He goes. And listen, Christ, you don't know where Christ is going to lead you. But I promise you this, He'll lead you right where He wants you. And you got to deny yourself. You got to say no to self. Then the second thing he says in that verse, he says, take up your cross. You say, what does that mean? Deny yourself and take up your cross is, they're kind of synonymous with each other, meaning we must die to ourselves, right? And so you deny yourself, you die to yourself, but also too, he says, I want you to notice what he says though. He says in that verse, take up his cross. See, we have to go forth in his way by denying ourselves, but we must take his cross. We must pick up the banner of the cross and be willing to carry it no matter where we go. Why? Because if we deny ourselves, it's about him. It's about him. You say no to you and yes to Christ and willing to carry the banner of the cross wherever he may take you. I'm going to give you the last verse, and this is, we'll camp out here just for a second. But Luke chapter 14, verse 33 says this. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is very emphatic here. Jesus is very emphatic in these last two verses. He says, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. In this one, he says that you have to, he says, whoever he be, forsaketh not all, that if he forsaketh not all, he cannot be my disciple. He said, well, he'll be a disciple, but he won't be a good one. No, he says, you cannot be my disciple if you don't forsake all. Now listen, when you forsake all, doesn't mean Christ is going to take all from you. Right? You may be here tonight, and God may be calling you to the mission field. That'd be a glorious time. And you're called to the mission field, and God may be calling you to Ghana, Africa. God may be calling you to wherever. He may be calling you to the Philippines. He may be calling you to Guatemala. He may be calling you to Mexico. He may be calling you wherever. And it may mean that you got to forsake all and leave. But you know what? Christ may just be calling a bunch of people tonight just to be followers of Him. And really what you need to forsake is not Not that you've got to give up everything. Not that you got to sell your house. Not that you got to sell your car. Not that you got to sell your kids. But you've got to forsake those things in order to follow Him. You've got to say, look, these things, I'm glad I have them, but all I really need is Christ. And you know what? Serving Christ is the best thing that ever happened in my life. Listen, I remember we used to have, when I was in school, we used to have guidance counselors. And we had great guidance counselors in our school. And I never forget my junior year, I believe it was my junior year, I went into the office and you had to sit with your guidance counselor and she would try to guide you in what you needed to do in life according to your academia and all this other stuff. She looked at me, she looked at my grades, she said, what do you want to do with your life? Of course, I always joked and said, I just want to get out of here. That was my goal in life, was just finish school. And she looked at me, she said, okay. She said, so are you thinking college? And I said, I haven't even had that thought, ma'am. She says, well, tell me what you want to do. And I told her, I said, well, what are my interests? And of course, I told her, and she says, well, I think a trade school would be good for you. And she says, so here's what we're going to do. She says, for half of the day, you come to school. The other half, I'm going to give you credit for working. Hallelujah. I love this lady. I hugged her neck. But they sent me to a bunch of trade schools to look at those, and I looked at being a gunsmith, a welder, and all these other things that I looked at, and I really wanted to do a trade. I love working with my hands and all that stuff, and I want to tell you, my senior year, God opened a door for me to work for the power company there in our town, and it was a very good job, and of course, they promised if I come on, they would send me to lineman school, and it was a great job. I mean, guys that started working there retired from there. There was no turnover. It was just a great job. And I was blessed. I graduated on a Saturday, went on senior trip on a Sunday, and then I started work Monday. Man, great job. I'm working with some great guys. And I remember sitting down with my boss. He says, I see things in you. He says, I'm going to bump you up pretty quick. He says, I started off working on the ground crew. I was cutting right away. I was driving a skid steer for most of my day. It was like heaven. Didn't have to listen to nobody. I was driving these big old skid steer that had an arm on it. I cut right away, and I sat like this all day, listened to the radio, and messed with the joystick. It was a great job. Then one day God came to me and said, Michael, I want you in my army. I never will forget that day, and me and my wife, and the Lord began to deal with me, and man, I thought, Lord, how could you use me? You know who I am. You know my downfalls and my uprising, all these things, and man, it was such a struggle. I remember me and Danya were about to get married, and I remember going to the altar and praying and asking God to help me, and God just kept on. I never forget when me and Donnie got married in 97, our pastor that did our wedding, I never forget this. He asked Donnie, he said, Donnie, you know that Michael's called. Are you willing to submit to that? Well, you talk about a gulping moment. I'm like, I hope she does. I mean, not only am I asking her to marry me, Michael Wiggins, no doctor, just Michael Wiggins, me. I'm asking her to marry them, and our pastor has to throw in there, you know he's called to preach. Are you willing to submit to that? My wife, no. She said, of course. And God sent us out here in 1997, later on. And I'm telling you, it's just amazing. Following Christ has not always been easy. And I've had to miss a lot of things. I've listen, but it's all worth it. Listen, God's maybe not calling you a priest tonight. God's maybe not calling you to be a missionary tonight, but God's calling you to be a follower. And it may cost you some things. It may mean, look, when you get home at 4 o'clock, it may mean you may need to come to the church and do something. Maybe it means that you're going to go and do some more studying and all these things. It just means you're going to draw close to Him, that you're going to be with Him. But listen, if you're not fit to follow Him, then guess what? You're outside. You're just being a fan. Listen, some of us need to get off out of the stadium and on the field. There are some talented people in this church. And if you're not using your talents for the Lord, then you need to pray and ask God to help you. Listen, I'm not downing anybody. We got the greatest church ever. We do. I really do. I believe we got a great church and great people. I'm being honest with you. The only reason I've been here 10 years, which has been the longest I've ever been anywhere, and I get fidgety every now and then because I never did stay in one place ever, more than probably 5 years. Even as a child, we move. I told Daniel before I married her, I lived in 21 different homes. I've been in the same house for 3 years. I'm even getting a little twitchy. I'm even looking at houses out boy and things. I'm getting a little twitchy. I get a little twitchy. But you know why I've been here? Because God's put me here. That's because I love y'all. I love our church. I really do. I love our people. There's a handful that we don't really care for. But they're not here tonight. But you know what? When I get to heaven, I don't care if God, I don't want to hear God say, man, you sung so great. Man, your sermons were so great. I just want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of heaven. That's all I want to hear. I want my wife to be behind me and he say the same to her, my children. To be right. I'm telling you, that's all that matters, to be a follower of Christ. Listen, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to win the award at your work. I never forget one time I got my work when I was working for the power company. Because I didn't hang out with them, you know, and they didn't talk the way I talked. And the guy said, what's wrong with you? I said, what do you mean? He says, just something about you. This, and I was able to take the word of God and show him what was different about me. Because it ain't me, it's him. And I just want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight, his bowed eyes closed. We'll have a time of invitation.